Saturday, January 11th. First reading from the first letter of St. John, chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. Beloved, we have this confidence in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in regard to whatever we ask, we know that what we have asked him for is ours. If anyone sees his brother sinning, if the sin is not deadly, he should pray to God and he will give him life. This is only for those whose sin is not deadly. There is such a thing as deadly sin, about which I do not say that you should pray. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that is not deadly. We know that anyone begotten by God does not sin, but the one begotten by God he protects, and the evil one cannot touch him. We know that we belong to God, and the whole world is under the power of the evil one. We also know that the Son of God has come and has given us discernment to know the one who is true. And we are in the one who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Children, be on your guard against idols. Haydock Commentary. Whatever exposition we follow on this reading, our faith teaches us from the Holy Scriptures that God desires not the death of any sinner, but that he be converted and live. Though men's sins be as the scarlet, they shall be made as white as snow. Isaiah 1:18. It is the will of God that everyone come to the knowledge of truth and be saved. See John 6:40. There is no sin so great but which God is willing to forgive and has left power in his church to remit the most enormous sins, so that no sinner need despair of pardon, nor will any sinner perish but by his own fault. Some understand the sin unto death as final impenitence, or of dying in mortal sin, which is the only sin that can never be remitted. But it is probable he may also comprise under this name the sin of apostasy from the faith, and some such other heinous sins as are seldom and hardly remitted. And therefore he gives little encouragement to such as pray for these sinners, to expect what they ask. All iniquity is sin, that is, sin is always an injury or an injustice done to God. But though every sin implies such an injury and offense against God, yet there are different degrees in such injuries, which are not always such an injustice as St. John calls the sin unto death. Anyone begotten by God does not sin, that is, the grace of adoption preserves him as long as it remains in the soul. The whole world is under the power of the evil one, that is, a great part of the world. It may signify the devil who is elsewhere called the prince of this world, that is, of all the wicked. And we are in the one who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life, which words are a clear proof of Christ's divinity. Keep yourselves from idols, an admonition to the newly converted Christians, lest, conversing with heathens and idolaters, they might fall back into the sin of idolatry, which may be the sin unto death here mentioned. The Gospel from John chapter 3, verses 22 through 30. Jesus and his disciples went into the region of Judea, where he spent some time with them baptizing. John was also baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was an abundance of water there, and people came to be baptized, for John had not yet been imprisoned. Now a dispute arose between the disciples of John and a Jew about ceremonial washings. So they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you testified, here he is baptizing, and everyone is coming to him." John answered and said, "No one can receive anything except what has been given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said that I am not the Christ, but that I was sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The best man who stands and listens for him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made complete. He must increase, I must decrease." Haydock Commentary. It is not that Christ himself was baptizing, but his disciples. John was baptizing near Salim, a town situated upon the River Jordan, where formerly Melchizedek reigned. John says he is the friend of the bridegroom, sent before to prepare his bride, that is, to collect for him a church from all nations. The servants of the bridegroom do not rejoice in the same manner as his friends. John says, "I am his friend, and I rejoice with very great joy because of the bridegroom's voice. He must increase and I must decrease," by which words the great precursor demonstrates to the world that not the least envy with regard to his divine master rankles in his heart, but on the contrary that he should be happy to see all his followers desert him to run to Jesus Christ. Christ must increase, not in virtue and perfection with which he is replenished, but in the opinion of the world when they begin to know him and believe in him. And in like manner, John must be diminished when they know how much he is above him.